Вельмишановний
Секретарю Генерал, дія Єнс, дія members of the North Atlantic Council, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I'd like to express our profound gratitude to Jens Stoltenberg and all the representatives of the Allied countries for an extremely important and an extremely timely visit to Kyiv, Ukraine. I'd like to remind us that the previous visit in such a format happened way back in 2008. Therefore, today's meeting is without a doubt a very special event in the relations between the Alliance and Ukraine. This meeting has showed a consistent support for Ukraine by NATO and an unchanging solidarity and unity of the Allied countries with Ukraine. Solidarity in terms of the restoration of our sovereignty and territorial integrity, providing for independence of our country. This is an extremely important message for Ukraine. NATO member countries play a leading role in the mobilization of international support for Ukraine in countering Russia's aggression and the quest for ways of stopping it, as well as the return of the Russian Federation to the respect of international law. And today, marking the 20th anniversary of signing of the Charter on a Distinctive Partnership between Ukraine and NATO, we had an opportunity to discuss in detail ways of strengthening of our partnership in view of modern realities and current challenges. Our urgent task is the protection and restoration of the system of Euro-Atlantic security, the foundations of which were undermined by the Russian Federation, by the illegal and illegitimate annexation of Crimea, and the aggression and military incursion of the Russian Federation in the Donbas. I have informed the NAC in detail about the current situation in Donbas and about the continuing escalation of pressure because of constant provocations by Russia-backed combatants. Our partners expressed their support for Ukraine in terms of the protection of our territorial integrity and the restoration of our sovereignty within the internationally recognized borders on the basis of full implementation of Minsk agreements. In this context, we discussed our joint approaches to providing defense capability of Ukraine and our further cooperation in the in face of continued Russia's aggression. We discussed a number of joint projects within NATO's trust funds and the possibility of their further financing and broadening ways of our practical cooperation between Ukraine and NATO with the use of the trust funds. Apart from this, I suggested to launch a new trust fund which should help Ukraine create a national network of establishments for psychological rehabilitation of the veterans of combat activities and members of their families. Modern societies and all branches of power in Ukraine are united as never before in their Euro-Atlantic aspirations. Today, we finally have clear understanding that an efficient strengthening of our national security can be provided only in cooperation with NATO, and a guarantee for our security is our future membership in NATO. Our recent legislative decision to that effect is a very clear answer to the question whether Ukraine wants to join the alliance and how determined we are in pursuing our ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of our Euro-Atlantic integration. The practical expression of our commitment is the broad-based reform agenda, which we have been worked on for several years. We have created very capable military, and now we are shaping relevant security structures. We will continue paying attention, including in the sector of defense and security, in order to reach by the year 2020 relevant standards of NATO. I would like to welcome an extremely important joint statement of NATO-Ukraine Commission, which we have just adopted at our meeting, which proves our joint readiness to further work for further development of our engagement with the NATO partners. With the help of the Alliance, we will confidently build an independent, stable, strong, and democratic Ukraine, which is going to be a guarantee of Euro-Atlantic security. I'm sure that investments in Ukraine's security is a very profitable investment in the security of NATO and the Allies. I would like to once again thank our partners for their constructive cooperation and to thank the Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, for his strong support for Ukraine. Thank you.
Thank you so much, President Poroshenko, and thank you so much for hosting the meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission here in Kiev today. And thank you also for the strong partnership between NATO and Ukraine. This is something we appreciate very much in NATO, because we have to remember that this is a partnership where we support each other. NATO provides strong practical and political support for Ukraine, but at the same time, Ukraine provides support to NATO, and we are very grateful for the fact that Ukraine contributes to all NATO missions and operations from Afghanistan, Kosovo, Mediterranean, and also helped to fight piracy off the Horn of Africa. So the partnership between NATO and Ukraine is a strong mutual partnership where we help to strengthen each other, and I'm very grateful for that, and also for your personal commitment and your personal leadership in developing this partnership. We have just discussed the situation in eastern Ukraine. The conflict continues to claim lives. The fighting has killed more than 10,000 people, including almost 3,000 civilians. It is clear that the ceasefire is not holding, and we are concerned by the increasing threats against OSCE monitors. The Minsk agreements remain the only path towards peace. Russia must withdraw its thousands of soldiers from Ukraine and stopping supporting the militants with command and control and military equipment. NATO stands firm in our support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. We do not and we will not recognize Russia's illegal and illegitimate annexation of Crimea. NATO will continue to provide Ukraine with practical support. Today, we reviewed our comprehensive assistance package for Ukraine. Through 10 different trust funds, NATO allies have pledged almost 40 million euros to support Ukraine. In areas such as command and control, cyber defense, and medical rehabilitation, we are now working to provide Ukraine with satellite communication equipment. In recent days, we have delivered state-of-the-art cyber defense equipment, helping key government institutions to better investigate cybersecurity incidents and to protect themselves from cyber attacks such as those we saw recently. Let me also add that on top of what NATO provides through the alliance, we also encourage, of course, support by NATO allies on the bilateral level, and we welcome strongly the support from many NATO allies on the bilateral level to Ukraine in different ways. This morning, I was pleased to meet Ukrainian veterans who benefit from our Medical Rehabilitation Trust Fund and who will represent Ukraine at the Invictus Games in Toronto. These are just a few examples of our support. NATO allies provide military training to Ukrainian armed forces, and every day NATO advisors support Ukraine's security and defense reforms. I welcome the steps you, President Poroshenko, and the Ukrainian government have taken to implement key reforms and to counter corruption. We encourage you to build on this progress. These reforms are essential to ensure security and prosperity for all Ukrainians and to bring Ukraine closer to NATO. NATO will continue to support you on this path. Thank you.
Thank you, Jens.
Now we have time for questions. We have a possibility for four questions from both sides. First, Europejska Pravda.
Sergei Sidorenko, Europejska Pravda. I have a question to both gentlemen, primarily to President Poroshenko, but also if the Secretary General wants to add something to the answer, I will be grateful. I have a question about the future format of cooperation between Ukraine and NATO. We have heard that Ukraine is not planning to apply for membership in the near future, and perhaps NATO accepts this. My question is, what prevents us from applying for membership in the near future, maybe even in the autumn this year? Or maybe to apply for intensified dialogue like what Georgia enjoys now. If nothing stands in the way, probably we have to do this. If something stands in the way of this, what are the arguments against such a move? Thank you.
Sergei, thank you for your question. Ukraine has clearly defined its security-related future. The Verkhovna Rada Parliament voted and I signed the law which states our future membership in NATO as our goal in foreign policy and security policy. We deem it necessary, and today it has been emphasized, that we should start a discussion about establishing a membership action plan. And our proposals at the beginning of the discussion were accepted with understanding. There is no some special way towards NATO. Today I spoke at the meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission, and I said clearly that when 20 years ago, 13 countries have new countries have joined NATO, Montenegro being the latest of them. We are committed to reform. We have a clear-cut timetable as to what we have to do by the year 2020 in order to meet the membership criteria, because the way things stand now, we do not meet these standards, because over the last 20 years, nothing has been done. To the contrary, laws were adopted which were pushing us away from NATO, and it's only for the last 3 years that we've made huge strides in reform, and we're sure that this discussion will bring us closer to relevant applications. We have a plan for these 3 years. We have a program for the period until 2020. We know clearly what to do. This is the first time in Ukraine when we have such a clear-cut roadmap. When Ukraine meets the criteria and the reforms are implemented, And today, by the way, we have what we have never had in our history. More than 60% of Ukrainians support Euro-Atlantic integration for Ukraine. And the government should heed this opinion of the people.
Right to decide its own path, including whether it wants to be a member of a military alliance as NATO. And for NATO, it is extremely important to underline that any decision on NATO membership has to be taken by the 28 members and the country which is applying for membership. No one else has the right to try to interfere or to intervene or to veto such a decision-making process, because it is a sovereign right of any sovereign nation to decide on its own future, including whether it wants to be a member of a military alliance of NATO. The focus now in Ukraine is on reform, and I welcome that, because regardless of membership, I welcome the fact that Ukraine is moving steadily towards meeting NATO standards, and more interoperability, meaning the ability to work together, Ukrainian forces and NATO forces, and to modernize Ukrainian security and defense institutions is also strengthening Ukraine's ability to counter the aggression we have seen in eastern Ukraine and in Crimea. So NATO will continue to support Ukraine on the path towards a close relationship with NATO, to implementing reforms and to meeting NATO standards. And then the message is that whether Ukraine is going to become a member of NATO or not is for the allies and Ukraine to decide. No one else has the right to try to veto such a process.
Thank you.
Наступне запитання з боку полу НАТО. Прошу, Укрінформ.
Укрінформ from the NATO. Please, question, the floor is yours.
Correspondent in Brussels, sir. Secretary General, do you have any maybe fresh ideas in order how to make international pressure on Russia more effective in order to force Kremlin to respect international law and to end its aggression against Ukraine and to restore international order and territorial integrity of some its neighbors? And Mr. President, if you have a new idea as well, you can join. Thank you.
So NATO is strongly supportive of the Minsk process, the Normandy format, because we strongly believe that this is the best format for solving the crisis in Ukraine, meaning that we also welcome the renewed initiatives to have new meetings and new efforts to try to make sure that the Minsk agreements are fully implemented. I'm sure that the President can also say more about the status of that process. What I can say is that I strongly underline the importance of the economic sanctions. It is not for NATO to decide on economic sanctions, but NATO allies are implementing sanctions, and I think it is extremely to maintain the sanctions as long as Russia doesn't change its behavior in eastern Ukraine and Crimea and doesn't implement the Minsk agreements. Let me also add that NATO has implemented the biggest reinforcement of collective defense since the end of the Cold War, very much as a response to the aggressive actions of Russia in Ukraine. We have tripled the size of our NATO response force, and we have increased our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance as a response to the aggressive actions of Russia in Ukraine. The last thing I will say is that NATO provides support to Ukraine, political support, but also practical support, to increase Ukraine's resilience against the aggression from Russia. And we will continue to do so because we do not accept that the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Ukraine is violated.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Secretary General. I fully support what Secretary General said.
I'm absolutely confident that effective solidarity and unity, European, transatlantic, global, informal of G7, is an effective instrument to keep Russia at the table of negotiation. Point number one. Point number two, we should have agreed strategy for the immediate implementation of security package of the Minsk Agreement, including immediate and comprehensive ceasefire, withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukrainian soil, withdrawal of the Russian artillery, tank, multi-rocket launch system to Russia back, or to put it in the sealed storage, and progress for releasing the hostages. Immediate and uninterrupted access of the Special Monitoring Mission of OSCE on the whole occupied territory, including uncontrolled part of Ukrainian-Russian border, to be present 24/7, to stop supply new troops, new armament, new ammunition. And with that situation, when we implement security package, preferably that this implementation should be guaranteed either by UN peacekeepers, because last 3 years demonstrate that Russia is extremely irresponsible in implementation of security package, or CSDP mission of European Union, or armed police mission of the OSCE. We do not accept the Russian attempt to create an extremely dangerous security condition for the Special Monitoring Mission of OSCE, trying to create a condition to leave the occupied territory. No, we are not accept that. And an objective and independent information of Special Monitoring Mission of OSCE is a vital precondition for the implementation security package. And I'm absolutely confident that our efforts and the results what reached on the G20 summit for next phone conversation and possible summit of the Normandy format will give a very careful optimism about the progress in the next months. Thank you.
Прошу, АРД.
One man. Георгий Тихий, First German Television ARD, Honored Secretary General and Mr. President. I want to ask about the specific new threats which are emerging, particularly the cyber attacks. We know that Ukraine in the latest 2 years have been a target of multiple cyber attacks, and basically what experts call the first use of cyber weapon against the civilian infrastructure in Europe in general. Concerning this, my question is for the Honored Secretary General. In the alliance, how closely alliance looks into these incidents, and in particular the last incident on 27th of June, which was much bigger in scale. Is this a topic of concern, and what is the strategy of alliance? And the question to President Poroshenko, is this also a topic of concern that these attacks grow bigger in scale, which we see on 27th of June? It's gone much, much wider.
We are very concerned about the increase in cyber attacks we have seen. And actually, this is a pattern we have seen over some time. And therefore, NATO has decided, and we are now implementing a strong reinforcement and strengthening of our cyber defenses. This is partly about defending our own networks, but also partly about helping NATO allies to strengthen their cyber defenses, and also to work together with partner countries like Ukraine. This is about sharing best practices. This is about exercises. This is about developing technology. We need all of that to be able to respond to a cyber threat which is very present and which is constantly changing. So the defense systems we have today are not those we need tomorrow, so we have to adapt all the time. And therefore, I also welcome the fact that one of the areas where we now are working more and more closely together with Ukraine is exactly on cyber defenses. We will provide Ukraine, or actually we are in the process of providing Ukraine with new equipment to some key government institutions This equipment will help Ukraine to investigate who is behind the different attacks. Attribution is very often a key challenge when it comes to cyber attacks. And it would also help Ukraine with defending key government institutions against cyber attacks. At the same time, I think we also have to understand that NATO is learning a lot from Ukraine. Because just the experience, just many examples of hybrid warfare, cyber attacks in Ukraine, provides NATO with extremely valuable knowledge and understanding. So again, it is a mutual beneficial partnership when Ukraine and NATO works together in countering cyber attacks.
Thank you. I can only support and confirm that the cooperation in cybersecurity and counteracting cyber attack is the main field of our cooperation with NATO. You know that one of the trust fund is dedicated exactly to the cybersecurity, and this is not only with NATO, but with a, on a bilateral cooperation program with the NATO member states, including the United States. The cyber attack is the key element of the hybrid warfare. And we have now an evidence that the last cyber attack also provided from the Russian, organized, sorry, by Russian Federation. And with that situation, I want to once again attract your attention that this is not only a form of cooperation in a software exchange, in exchange of the best practice and technologies, but now we receive the hardware. Our main ministers, including Minister of Foreign Affairs, other ministers, our security services, receive the hardware, receive the communication equipment to not only to defend our institution from the next cyber attack, but also to effectively detect and share the practice and information. And I can confirm that within 40 minutes, after launching the attack, the coordination between member states, between our partners, was organized extremely effective. And this allow us to help us to minimize the sequences of this attack from the 27th of June. And we agreed to expand our cooperation, to attract more money, and to make it more efficient. And this is not was the, not only the topic on my today meeting with the Secretary General, but also topic for the yesterday meeting with the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, Secretary General should leave to another meeting, so we should end our press conference. Thank you very much. Дякуємо всім, друзі. Генеральний секретар має відбути на наступну зустріч.
The press conference is concluded. Thank you for your attention.